Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like El Nino, or falling into a sinkhole, or sleep deprivation.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like getting a bad tattoo, working for a family member, or falling asleep on the job. Wake up, Christine!
Ah, whoa, okay. You know what would make me feel really refreshed?
What?
The theme song.
Let's play it. Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. I'm Danielle.
Hey, Danielle, I'm Christine.
Christine, you're wearing a ponytail today. I've never seen it on you, and I like it.
Thanks.
I like it.
You know, I'm doing a lot of pulling my hair back because I've been really hardcore considering cutting all my hair off really short.
Okay.
And doing like a punk hairstyle.
Pixie. Like a Sarah Schaefer from SNL thing.
I don't...
Sarah, like a mullet?
Sort of. No, not quite a mullet. I think more like... sort of a messy punk rock, really short haircut, and then bleach blonde.
Holy shit, you would look fantastic that
with
way.
Like dark roots.
Like Billie Jean? Not Billie Jean.
Who's that?
Legend of Billie Jean.
I can't picture it.
It's Helen Slater? Shaver?
Yeah, just Slater. I just want to, I think this is, guys, this is my midlife crisis. It's all happening.
That's his to-go reference. The Legend of Billie Jean.
All I can think of is that song about the guy on the bridge.
Oh, walking
tossing. Do, 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 yeah. In the moon of Hattie Bridge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a totally other release. Because The Legend of Billie Jean, I think, is a song as well as a
Well, Billie Jean is
movie?
Michael Jackson.
Yes, but that...
Yeah, but that's not the same thing.
No, I know, but... That's why I always question if I have it right.
Oh.
Because it's...
Sounds like we're going to have a lot for... What did I learn today?
All I know is we're really pulling on the like relevant pop culture references right now.
I was going to say more like Billy Idol.
Yes, I think it's more like Billy Idol.
It's more like Billy Idol. Some Billy.
I can't figure out if it's going to be cool... Or terrifying.
No, I think you have the face for it. It'll look fantastic. It's just a lot of maintenance. Because you're going to have to bleach your hair.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to.
No, you're not going to.
Yeah, something like that. But not...
Wait, let me see.
But not quite that short. But
okay,
yes.
Okay, so is that Helen Slate? Oh, it is. Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no. That's too blonde and too short and too... Yeah, you want a little more.
A little longer, a little less sort of close to the... You're on the right track, Erin.
Are you going in with pictures?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, don't bring that one because it's not quite right.
I'm not going to bring that one, but it's a good reference, Garen.
It's a good movie. Christian
so,
Slater.
So, yeah.
Christian Slater.
Oh, the Slaters, yeah.
The Slaters, are they related?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so. I think it's just a coincidence.
I never even thought about that.
She was Supergirl. She has...
Where did she go?
Well, she had zero charisma as far as I remember.
She didn't die, did she?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Helen Slater, where are you? Hmm. So, yeah, anyway. So I'm pulling it back to just kind of get myself geared up. Get used to this face. And, yeah, I'm thinking about getting some tattoos.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay. You still have the tattoo you had before?
Yep. Still back there.
What is it again?
A Black Panther.
What?
Wakanda forever.
Exactly. I've
She's
always
the head of the curve.
I've always supported the movement.
Culture.
Since I was 16.
Yeah, why did you get a Black Panther?
Well, I thought it was cool.
Is it prowling?
It's scratching my back. One paw is scratching my back. The other paw
who you are.
Is just like by its body.
The other one has the head of Helen Slater in its mouth.
It's just tearing off Helen Slater's head.
Okay, so, but it didn't have any significance for you? You just thought it was cool?
I was like, well, I was with two friends.
Yeah.
We were in high school. Starts.
Yeah.
One of them got a rose going through a heart. The other one got a heart with wings.
A rose going through a heart? A rose going through a
yeah,
heart?
Yeah, like there's a heart and then a rose with a thorn, like one single rose. I think this is my memory. This is a long time ago. Going through, like stabbing the heart.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then the other is a heart that had little wings.
Okay.
And I was like...
Didn't you get the memo? The heart memo?
I didn't. I was like, I'm a badass. You guys remember, this was around the time period that I got in a fight in the middle of the street in cut off jean shorts and no shoes.
Wow.
And I was like, looking at the big wall of tattoos.
Uh-huh.
We were supposed to be touring a college that day.
Okay.
That's why we weren't in school.
Oh, okay. You were supposed to be touring the college on your own?
Yeah, you could get a day off school if you went and toured a college. You'd get a pass. This was 11th grade, and we went and got tattoos.
And so now you're going to get Marvin the Martian?
So I looked
with a machine gun or something?
I looked at the wall, and I was like, not those.
Yeah.
I'm not like that.
Not those girls with flowers.
I'm tough.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
What looks tough? That Black Panther that right there, that seems like me.
So you didn't think about it ahead of time, what you were going to get?
No, I didn't know this was happening. This was like,
we did
tour the college.
And you were done early.
And then they were like, we should go get tattoos. And I said, yep, sounds good to me.
Wow.
And that's how it happened.
Okay, do you regret that tattoo?
I didn't, and then I did for a long time.
Yeah.
And now I'm sort of resigned. I mean, it's, you know, it's part of who I am.
Sure.
It's very faded. I would love to get it fixed and sort of...
You want it darker?
I want it more prominent. I would probably get a better cat over it.
Now you would get like a kitty cat.
And your baby kitten. I'd get my cat's face over it. It just looks really faded and, you know, bad now.
So what are you planning on getting now?
So I don't know. I'm probably
Calvin gonna, peeing on what?
On a Black Panther?
Perfect. Well, you have it, have done.
You know, I don't know. I'm going to go in and pick something off the wall that looks badass.
Oh, you... No.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I might get my kid's initials.
Okay. You're
on my wrist.
At your wrist. So that's a good place to do it. Yeah.
Very small.
I like that.
I'm thinking. I'm going to actually think about it this time.
Okay.
So do either of you have tattoos?
I think you know the answer to that.
Yeah.
No, I do
I
not.
Want one. But
what would you get? Freddy Krueger's hand clawing at your...
I mean, that's the obvious one, but I... Sometimes I don't even know what I'm saying.
Or like Chucky's, like, you know how Ben Affleck has that big tattoo on his back? That would be you,
Phoenix.
But you would get Chucky's head.
Yeah. Oh, just grinning.
Let me just do an all-day tattoo of Chucky.
Ew.
Life-size Chucky on my back.
last night, Oliver and I were participated in a pickleball tournament for charity.
Yay!
At the place we go.
Okay.
So I'll try not to make this too long, but...
Stretch it out. We want all the details.
We were put in what was called Beginners Plus. And ooh. I was like, oh, God, I'm sorry, Oliver. Because, like, if it weren't for me, he would, you know, for sure be an intermediate.
He likes to play with you,
he
though.
He does, but it was still kind of a bummer. But then when we saw who all was in Beginners Plus, it was like... Sure, some people were definitely going to beat, and it's not going to be a problem. But there were also people totally at our level. Like, it made sense.
Okay.
They were not. Then, when we were warming up, they gave us time to warm up. Also, it was freezing.
I was thinking about that, because it's been pretty cold.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be last Monday, but it was pouring rain. Mm-hmm. So, it was last night. So, as we're warming up, these two people come in who we've never seen before. I mean, a lot of the people I had never seen before, but these two people come in, and... One of them just starts, like, coming on to the court while Oliver's there warming up. And she's like, oh, you can stay. And he was like, what? And then it turns out they've never played pickleball before.
Okay.
They don't know the rules.
Oh, you can stay? That's such a weird thing to say.
It wasn't even condescending. It was like she just didn't understand how it worked.
Okay.
So we're all still practicing. The tournament hasn't started. And we're watching them. They don't know the rules. But they're fucking amazing players because, like, they're tennis players or something.
Okay.
It was a brother and sister. And the guy was really tall, and he would just go, dink! Like, he just...
Yeah.
Like, and she had amazing, like, spins and, like, slices. And
yeah.
She was fucking amazing. I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. So, anyway, long story short, we play. You know, you get matched up with different people. You play. We won all but one game.
Nice.
And the one game we lost by 1 point. So... Then it was, okay, well, this other team is going to play the brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Because the brother and sister were undefeated.
Those two.
Yeah. So then we're like, wait a second. And they're going to play for first place. And Oliver and I were like, wait a second. We have the exact same score as this other team.
Yeah.
Because we lost one game by 1 point, and they lost one game by 1 point. Mm-hmm. So we have the exact same score. So anyways, there's all this mishigas. They hadn't, like, you know, planned for this. So then we played this team again. We'd already played them once and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played them again and we won.
Okay.
So then we were playing for second place. And we played the brother and sister team. And we at one point, it was 5-0, us five. So it was like not a bloodbath, but they won. Okay. And but we got second place.
Nice.
And we were so excited.
Very good.
And... as we were shaking their hands, or like you bump paddles when you're done, the brother of the brother-sister team was like, I told her, it was like her fault. She insisted we sign up for beginners. So I'm sorry. Like, because it was like they were ringers. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was very nice. And
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. We were actually nervous. Like, we were up there nervous.
I call that a win. You guys, I mean, you guys are like the Harlem Globetrotters against the Generals or something, and you almost beat them. Wait, that doesn't how that works.
No.
You know what I mean.
You know Garen with his sports references.
Yes, he loves the sports analogy.
He's so good at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are actually better at them than I am, so I shouldn't make fun of you. Well, congrats. I hope you got a prize.
We got a little medal.
Aww.
That's a second. And we were so excited. That's really cute.
The cutest.
But Oliver was like, make sure when you tell the story, Mom, you explain that the people who beat us were like, I'm like, I'm going to explain it. I got it under control.
We got it.
I'm like, they were pros. They were like ringers. It was ridiculous.
They got college scholarships based on pickleball to Harvard.
Tennis, at least.
Yeah.
So
that is, I mean, well... I'm very happy for the two of you. And
thank you. It was super fun.
I aspire to be sporty with one of my children someday. I have something to share.
Yes.
Because we did speak about alligators.
Yes.
Last weekend, and wrestling of alligators.
Uh-huh.
Right? And how to survive alligators.
Uh-huh.
And I sent a picture to Danielle.
Oh, yeah.
About the fact that at that same time period... Coincidentally, my brother and his girlfriend went to Florida so they could hunt alligators.
Right.
And I've been trying to get the details. We keep missing each other on the phone.
Oh.
But my brother's girlfriend, Amanda, caught an alligator
Oh my God.
In Florida.
In the wild.
How do you catch
it? Wild.
Well,
or is it a place set up for?
It's a reserve. It's like 2,000 private acres where you can. My brother went boar hunting.
Yes.
And she went alligator hunting. So.
Okay. So that was the point of it, to hunt an alligator.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought she was going to wrestle an alligator because that's what my dad told me.
Right.
He was like, well, you know, your brother and Amanda are on their way to Florida so she can wrestle an alligator. That was the message that I got. And
well,
maybe
he thought that's how you hunt them.
Maybe. Or maybe was the original plan. And then it turned out you can't just go in and wrestle them.
Choke it to submission.
I mean, I don't know all the details because I can't get anyone on the actual phone, but I'm trying.
Okay.
So I did get a text.
Okay.
That she said it was fun. I'm going to read the text to you. The gator was super strong, and I had bruises from my digging the pole into my thigh crease. We got the skull and bumpy part of the hide. The hide takes 12 to 15 months. We will be eating it at the family reunion.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So guess who else is going to eat the alligator?
Wait, you're going to the family reunion?
This girl right here, yes.
You're going to eat alligator?
Why not? I've eaten crocodile.
Oh.
We hunted on a 2,000-acre private reserve. Any more questions, call. So then I did have a question. I said, wait, so you catch it with a fishing pole?
Yeah, I'm confused.
Yes, can't answer right now, but yes. She was busy.
No. I mean,
With a weighted treble hook, which is the hook that is double-sided, giving it 4 hooks total.
Okay.
That's why she was all bruised, I guess, because, you know, it's an alligator.
No, I don't know. I still don't understand. You throw the hook at the alligator's, try to get it into its mouth, like Hungry Hungry Hippo or something?
I think, like in the water, and it has bait on it, and then you catch it, and then you have to reel it in.
Oh.
Like you catch a shark.
Oh, you're fishing for it.
That's what I'm gathering. For some reason, I was imagining you shot it.
I thought you would shoot it too.
Right? Because I'm like, well, they have a lot of guns, so they're going to take their guns and go shoot these animals. But he might have even caught the boar with a bow and arrow, because my brother bow and arrow hunts a lot. I'm sure I'm going to be eating the boar as well.
So did she spear it then once you fish it out?
That I don't know.
Okay.
That's a
Well, she said something about hold. Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, now we have the story will become clearer as the weeks go on. We'll get more and more.
We'll get more updates. This is an ongoing story.
Love it.
With multiple updates. And I'm really just, I'm happy my brother has someone he can bond with.
They found each other.
Yeah.
It never crossed my mind that you would fish for an alligator.
Not a million years is that how I thought.
And then someone's out there with camouflage and a fucking Crocodile Dundee knife.
Yeah.
I never thought just...
You'd fish for it.
Yeah.
What did she mean about the 15 months?
Oh, because they're going to have the hide of the alligator. They're going to have that
dried out
for... To display, I guess. Like, just like when my brother, he has deer heads, you know, that he's caught over the years mounted in his basement. Because he, when he catches a deer, you know, he uses all of it.
Okay.
So he has deer steaks and deer jerky and, you know, they do eat all of it. It doesn't go to waste. But then the head is put on, like, display. Right. Like, this is what I did. And so I think it's the same premise of like the hide will be used, unless she's like, oh, I'm going to have it made into a handbag. But I think it's more like it's going to be on the wall or something.
I gotcha. But the meat is going to last until you get there?
I think they'll probably freeze it.
Okay. When is this reunion?
August.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's going to be some frostbitten alligator.
Well, they'll thaw it and then fry it or barbecue it, or I don't know, maybe it's going to be jerky. I know that it's going to be served.
Do you think your kids will eat that?
Yeah, I think they'll try it.
Okay.
Are you going to tell them what it is?
Oh, I've already told them.
Oh, okay.
I told them it was happening. I was like, this is happening, guys. And Benji's just excited because he's like, I want to go hunt.
Really?
He wants to so badly. You know, he's so into fishing.
Oh, yeah.
He's obsessed with fishing. So the next step for him is, can I go hunting with Uncle Mike?
And would you let him do that?
Not with guns, no. If he wanted to go like bow and arrow hunting, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm not into the hunting with guns. I mean, let's put it this way. If it was just my brother and him, probably, because I think my brother's very safe and takes it very seriously. But like not a group. I'm too worried about other hunters.
No.
I'm not worried about my brother. Yeah, I'm just worried about...
No, I get it.
Yeah. I'm worried. Guns make me really nervous. So that's the alligator update.
Wow, love it. We're on alligator watch. And I'm gonna get more and more details.
I hope when you go to that reunion, she comes out of the house and it's just...
She's draped. Wearing it.
She's got the head like a hat.
Yeah.
And it's just draped down her back.
I hope so, too.
Like she walks out like a queen of the jungle.
The queen of the alligators. It's all I want, you guys. It's all I want. Should we talk about our topic?
Yes.
Can you survive without sleep? And how long can we stay awake?
That's a good question.
I mean, I have to say, while I was researching this, I kept wanting to go to sleep. That's how suggestible I am. How easy it is to convince me that I should go to sleep. All right, let's talk about it. So... At 24 hours, if you've pulled an all-nighter for some reason, maybe you're a student and you're studying for an exam, you have to prepare for a presentation at work. Mm-hmm. Aren't you so glad you don't have to do that?
Yes.
You don't have that kind of job?
Yes.
I mean, we prepare stuff for this job.
Yeah, but we're not up till all hours.
It's not like we have to do some kind of like, I don't know, PowerPoint showing like histograms. Oh my God.
What's a histogram?
It's a certain kind of graph, and I think it's boxes that go up like little chunky boxes.
Such a technical description.
Isn't that a bar graph?
Maybe. I know I've had to do histograms.
Really?
When I was
I've never. It sounds like
college.
Something they used to give to women in the 1800s.
When they had hysteria?
Yeah.
They might have done that too. That was a different kind of histogram. Okay, so when you've gone 24 hours without even a nap, you're not going to be able to think as clearly. Your brain's going to work the same as someone with a blood alcohol content of 0.10,
okay,
which is above the legal limit to be convicted of a DUI in all 50 states. So that's only 24 hours of no sleep.
Okay.
So you're already pretty messed up if you stay awake all night. One night. So here's what happens when you're 36 hours.
Okay.
So this is 36 waking hours is going to start to mess up your physical health. Repeated exposure to this bad habit can lead to cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, hormone imbalances. You may experience complete memory lapses and not remember what happened during these hours. Okay, we're getting into 2 days no sleep. So 2 days of sleep deprivation results in something called microsleeps. So I know it sounds cute.
Yeah.
Then we have a microsleep. No, it's not. These are actually blackouts.
Whoa.
They can last from half a second to 30 seconds.
Oh my God.
You're losing time. You don't know what's even happening, but when you come to, you'll be like, what? What happened? And then maybe there's like a knife sticking out of someone.
Yeah, you never know.
You might have murdered somebody.
That's right.
Okay, you don't want to do that. Or maybe you do, Garen.
Hey.
It's a good defense anyway. You've got the science to back it up.
I mean... It might be a good defense for murder. I'm just throwing that out there. Here's some possible causes and symptoms. I'd never heard of some of this. Morvan's syndrome.
Okay.
Have you guys heard of Morvan's syndrome? Okay. Well, in some cases, sleep deprivation isn't a choice. No matter how much we want or need to rest, sometimes our bodies aren't allowing it. Here's a classic example, Morvan's syndrome. So people who have this medical disorder were studied. So they sleep very little. One particular case involved a man in France who went several months with barely a wink. Instead, he had periods of hallucination and pain in his extremities. Besides pain and sleeplessness, other symptoms of Morvan's syndrome include muscle twitching, sweating, and weight loss.
Huh.
So don't get it.
No.
If somebody's...
But literally no sleep for how many, did you say, a month or months?
7 months.
Several months.
Several months.
Yeah. Here's another
how
one.
How is that possible?
I mean, I don't even know, but...
Is the pain and hallucinations caused, and the sweating and the weight loss, caused by the lack of sleep, or are they just other symptoms of this disease?
Caused by the lack of sleep.
Okay.
Fatal familial insomnia.
Okay.
This sounds worse because it has the word fatal in it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this is probably even worse than Morvan's. People with this can expect to die within 6 to 30 months.
Jesus Christ.
The extreme deprivation associated with FFI results in organ failure and degeneration of parts of the brain.
Oh my God.
Listen to this. This is wild. It's considered an infectious disease.
How?
It's in the same family as mad cow disease. You can't get it from casual touching or sexual intercourse, thank God, with someone who's infected. In order to catch FFI, you'd have to be in contact with the actual brain of someone with the disease.
What?
Don't go around touching people's brains.
What do they mean?
I mean, or receive a blood transfusion from tainted blood. So maybe you work in like you're an autopsy specialist and you touch brains?
Okay.
Or
okay.
What else are you doing that you're touching a human brain?
I can't think of anything else besides
you
that.
Are a cannibal.
Or you're a surgeon.
You're a surgeon.
Yeah.
You are an embalmer. You work in a mortician's office. Is the brain still there?
No, because you're just making them pretty. I don't think you're touching brains in an embalming office.
Because the brain's already been taken out, maybe? I don't really know.
Do they take out your organs when they embalm you?
Well, did you donate your organs?
Right.
And is the brain one of them? Because brain transplants aren't happening, so you don't need to donate your brain unless it's for research.
Research, yeah.
So your brain is going to some sign. Oh, what if you're a medical student?
Yeah,
students.
You might want to research the brain of someone who has this. Yes, so you got to be careful.
Watch
not
out,
to get it.
Hey, if you're a medical student, watch out for fatal familial insomnia. And you know what? If you're like a serial killer and you are into brains, you deserve to get this.
Yeah, because you don't want them sleeping. How can you sleep with what you've done anyway?
You right.
Know, maybe they'll have it anyway. They'll have insomnia over pills.
They probably sleep like.
They sleep like babies.
They sleep so good. They don't care. Okay, here's another one.
Yeah.
Sleep apnea.
Okay, right.
Up to 22 million Americans may be suffering from sleep apnea. This disorder occurs when your airway becomes blocked, reducing or eliminating airflow. People with this condition can wake up several times per night, causing severe sleep deprivation if left untreated. And it's pretty bad for your health. I'm going to tell you how bad as soon as I can scroll down on my computer. Common causes include obesity, large tonsils, endocrine disorders, heart or kidney failure, genetic disorders, and premature birth. That's the causes of sleep apnea.
Yeah.
If you have this, it can also negatively affect the quality of rest that your partner gets. My husband has sleep apnea, so I know this.
He's not on a CPAP machine.
No, but he probably should be.
Yeah.
It's something I've been bothering him to get checked out, and he's like, mm-hmm.
How do you know he has it?
Because he
wakes up.
He'll be like,
oh, okay.
Where
he's
catching
his breath.
He kind of chokes on his own breath while he sleeps. It's alarming to hear somebody like multiple times in the night, like stop breathing.
I technically have it also. I went and did a sleep study where I, you know, slept at this place, and, you know, they say you're waking up 2,500 times or something, you know. You don't realize you're waking up, but
right.
So they gave me a mouth guard. I was fitted for like a mouth, not a CPAP machine, but just a mouth guard to get the air going better.
Yes.
And it hurt and I couldn't do it.
Wear the mouth guard.
Yeah. It hurt way too much. Something was digging in. And then, I was like, I mean, I still have it. Maybe I'll try it again. But the reason I went was because I'm always tired, as I've explained throughout my life. And so I was like, well, what is it? So, you know, supposedly it's, well, I'm not getting good quality sleep when I'm sleeping. So, I mean, it doesn't feel like I'm not, but obviously this is just normal for me that I'm always tired, and some people aren't always tired. So
I'm jealous of those people.
So you have it too.
Well, I'm always tired. I don't know that it's actually.
But I mean, you are always tired. Also.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. I wonder if maybe your mouth guard is ill-fitting and you could have a new one made.
I think I looked into that. And I can't remember what happened because it was several years ago now. But I did see it the other day in my drawer, and I was like, maybe I should try it again.
Was it made like by a dentist, or is it?
Yeah, like an ortho maxill surgeon or whatever they call it.
Okay.
But I think I threw out the bands that you wear with it, so that wouldn't work.
Well, maybe look into that.
I will. Yeah.
Restless legs syndrome.
Yes.
This is a nervous system disorder, which I didn't know that. It creates uncontrollable urge to reposition your legs. It's accompanied by uncomfortable tingling and twitching, commonly described as pins and needles or a creepy crawly feeling.
Yes, it's awful.
It's more common among middle-aged women, and it's estimated that it affects up to 10% of the population. So this can also affect your sleep. Garen, do you have restless leg syndrome?
I think I've felt something like that, but it's not something that happens.
And you've had it, but not like it's not a constant thing for you, Danielle.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I had the syndrome. I've had that feeling of like your legs are like almost detached from your body and they don't feel good. This sort of reminds me, I don't know if you saw the video I put on Facebook. It's so corny, but I just think it's the cutest thing where it's like black and white footage of this woman co-sleeping with her baby.
Oh, yes.
Did you see it?
No, I want to see it.
And her baby is repositioning himself constantly and ends up on her face, like, constant. It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
It's hysterical because it's like, why is the baby moving so much? But, you know, it's like a sped up, like, all night thing. I'll make sure you see it because it's super funny. Yeah.
I've noticed that can happen to me if I have too much caffeine.
Oh, the restless leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My husband has restless leg too. So he
sounds like a joy to share a bed with.
He
popsicle sticks.
And yeah. It's a lot happening in my bed. That's not conducive to sleep. Here's another one. Night terrors.
Oh, for God's sake.
Children experience night terrors, which are unlike nightmares because they're more like a hallucination that can last anywhere from a few minutes up to 30 minutes.
Oh, shit.
I feel bad for the parents who have a child with 30-minute night terrors.
Wait, does that mean I always assumed night terrors meant they're waking up screaming. Is that what's happening?
The child is awake during the ordeal, though they often won't remember what they saw.
Yeah.
So they can just be like, their eyes are wide awake, like wide open. Yeah. They're screaming and maybe flailing and it's horrifying, I think. Luckily, my kids did not have this.
Oliver had a thing where it wasn't terrors, he wasn't scared, but he would wake up and like start talking. And a couple of times he actually sleptwalked.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything like dangerous, it didn't last that long, but we'd go in and we'd have like whole conversations with him.
Yeah.
And he had no memory of it in the morning.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
So, how long can you go without sleep? Well, there's no definitive answer, but most scientists agree that we all need the REM cycle to survive. There are cases of people who have sustained brain injuries that deprive them of this cycle.
Oh, shit.
They've been able to survive and even thrive, but the jury's still out on, you know, how long people can go. So there is an anecdotal story of a young man in China who forced himself to stay awake and died after 11 days.
What?
But there were other factors involved. The problem with being able to test this surviving without sleep is it's an ethical dilemma. You can't put people through this to get an answer to it.
But they must have at some point.
Well, we have people who have done it on their own.
Uh-huh.
So I'll share a story at the end. So how long will it take before you start hallucinating? While every person is different, on average, you can expect to start hallucinating after 72 hours after sleep deprivation. So, although it's tempting to try to trick your body to stay awake, it's not a good idea for your health. If you find that you need more time in the day and you genuinely want to cut out the amount of time you're in bed, you may want to try something like polyphasic sleep.
Okay.
This is where you nap for short bursts during a 24-hour period. This method has been found to increase productivity and the number of waking hours in the day, although its safety as a long-term habit is debated. I never believe it. Like, when all, you know, those people who are like, I don't know if Steve Jobs is one of them or Elon Musk, when they're like, I only sleep for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't believe it.
Yeah, you and I have had this discussion before. Yeah. I just took them at face value and thought that they were just superior beings in that one sense, not in any other sense. But just like I think because I'm always tired and because I always need a lot of sleep, that I look at it almost as like a failing.
Oh, like a moral failing?
Well, not moral, but I was going to say moral failing. It's not really a moral failing, but it is some sort of a character flaw in me.
But I think,
so people who can get away with less sleep are somehow superior.
Better. Yeah. I don't think, though, the reality is you can't help it. You know, it's like I I used to cry to my therapist about how bad I felt about like sleeping in.
Wow.
Because I'd feel so bad as a parent.
Right.
And she was like, you cannot help this. Like, this is not something you're doing wrong.
Right.
It's like your body, some bodies need more sleep than other bodies. It's okay. Like, it took me a really long time. I still deal with the guilt about like, you can't help it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just some bodies need more. But I also really think human bodies need at least 7 hours of sleep to function. It's it's like scientifically proven 7 to 9 hours is what adults need.
I remember the one thing that sticks out for me from ER, the show ER, is I think it was Carter and Green or whatever, but he's like, if you don't get at least 4 hours of sleep, you're better off not sleeping.
Hmm.
It's either 3 hours or 4 hours.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Because you're not recharging enough, and it's going to make you, the next day, you're not going to be able to function as a doctor, I guess, in an ER.
Yeah.
Don't take that as fact. That is a television show. But
no,
it never left my
your
brain.
Memory of That's science. ER is science, and we're going to go down in history as saying it.
If there's a show to trust, it's probably ER, but don't, you know.
Yeah.
Sleep deprivation is so bad for you. It's used as a form of torture, and they've even come out, you know, and said that you shouldn't. It's such a bad form of torture. Like, we shouldn't do it.
Right.
Like, the U.S. should stop it because it's that detrimental. Forcibly depriving a person of sleep is a profound assault on the entire biological system at the foundation of that person's mind and body.
You know what? I challenge someone to keep me awake. I don't think they can do it. I don't think the top CIA operatives could get me to stay awake. If I want to sleep, I sleep.
I mean, they...
How do they make you stay awake? They just blast music and pour cold water on
they
you?
They put people in standing up positions in handcuffs and feet cuffs the point where their ankles would break
from
the cuffs.
Uh-huh.
And blast loud music, and they do some rectal feeding.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
I was listing some of it, but it got so awful that I decided it wasn't going to be a good topic.
I just stopped at rectal feeding.
It gets worse
than breaking your ankles?
It gets worse after breaking your ankles and rectal feeding.
Okay.
So I decided, maybe not for our show.
All right.
I love that Danielle's just defiantly falling asleep. You can do whatever you want to. I'm out.
I just, that's the only thing I have a strong will about is sleep.
Well, they say also, it's not a form of valid torture anyway, because when you're torturing, you're trying to get information from your sources to theoretically save like American lives, right? Well, here's what happens. Beyond 24 hours of deprivation, people suffer huge drops in cognitive functions like accurate memory, coherent speech, and social competence. People start suffering hallucinations. So whatever words they may seem to be saying have to count as the least reliable kind of information one could possibly conceive.
Right.
A mind tortured to that extremity will not provide anything that can be trusted as relevant to the real world. These aren't my words. I got these, you know, from a reliable source that I'll put in our newsletter.
ER.
ER, of course. Everything I talk about on this show is from ER. Even if the person really knew some vital bits of information, prolonged sleep deprivation will make it less likely the person could accurately and meaningfully communicate that information. So, you know, it's why bother? Why are we doing this?
Right.
But, you know. Okay. Here's a couple tips how you survive when you've had no sleep. Now, this is like you've had a night where you didn't get any sleep.
Okay.
So this is more reasonable of what we're going to experience.
Right.
None of us are trying to stay awake for 10 days.
No.
We're reasonable people. No one should do that. So you had a bad night. Maybe you have a new baby. Maybe you just had a night where you had too much caffeine. You couldn't sleep all night. Here's some tips. Sit by a window or step outside. Okay?
Yeah.
You want to get your sleep schedule back on track. Natural sunlight helps maintain circadian rhythms. Resist sugar, carbs, and processed foods. Mm. Skip the ultra-processed foods and beverages. You're going to crave those because when we're tired, we actually crave sugar and starch. But you want to have something healthier because a tired body doesn't need that stuff. Okay. Yeah. But on that note, don't skip meals. That leads to glucose dips and increased moodiness. And we don't need some tired bitch. Power nap if you must. The greatest pressure to sleep is 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. So that's when you're going to feel the most tired. So
that's
that 4 p.m. time of day. The best nap is simply 20 minutes of uninterrupted, comfortable sleep. No more, no less. If you're able to do that, my God, hat's off to you, because I've never been able to do that.
I tried it the other day.
Yeah.
Set my alarm for 20 minutes.
Yes.
Set my alarm for 15 more minutes.
Yes.
Snoozed that one.
Yeah.
Ended up to be about 40 minutes.
That's what
I couldn't do
it. No, I've never pulled off a 20-minute nap. So, like I said, if you can do it.
Like, I start falling asleep and I'm already agitated that I'm going to have to get up in 20 minutes. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sleep, it takes me that long just to
get comfy.
I don't know who's doing this. Stay active. Starting the day with your blood pumping is the best formula. It can be a walk or dancing around. Just move your body. I don't know who can do that if they have had a night of no sleep to be like, I can still work out when I wake up in the morning. Here's one more tip. Pause on big projects or decisions.
Yes.
That's not the day to decide if you're going to marry Fred or not.
Right. Fred can wait until you've gotten 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys like to hear a story?
I would love to hear a story.
Mm. You know what?
What?
Before I tell the story, I think I'm going to do my shot of Magic Mind.
Oh, you're going to do it now. Okay. Yeah. Speaking of...
energy.
Proper regulation of... I did mine earlier.
So Magic Mind is this energy drink. Is it okay to call it an energy drink?
I'll tell you what they call it.
Yeah.
Productivity shot.
Okay. Well,
the world's first productivity shot.
This would be something probably good to have if you've not had a good night of sleep. Because it's going to give you that boost, but also not... make you feel jittery, and it's got vitamins in it, like vitamin C, D, and echinacea.
So it says it boosts energy. It has a natural L-theanine, I don't know what that means, reduces stress and anxiety, and contains 130 times the antioxidants of regular green tea, which is obviously good.
I want 130 times.
Yes. So it is...
not too sweet.
It has organic agave in it, which is a low GI source of subtle plant-based sweetness. That is actually what I like about it. It's sweet, but it's not sweet. It's like we've said before, it's sort of like a grapefruity flavor, which I like.
Yeah.
It's
a little tart. Like,
yeah.
A little fresh.
It has,
and I like agave as a sweetener. I don't want a fake sweetener.
Yeah, you like the agave.
Don't give me cancer.
It has Bacopa Monnieri. I think he was the one who was fighting with Beethoven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Monnieri.
He's in here?
He's in there.
He tastes delicious.
I know. If you go to Magic Mind and you put in how to survive, pretty easy to remember, you will get a discount that if you get a certain package, it can be like up to 40% off. Unlike coffee that makes you nervous and makes you have anxiety, this is a way of getting energy without feeling nervous and jittery. I had it earlier. I feel very good. I feel awake. I don't feel jittery.
So I don't see any shakes over there.
I'm not shaking.
No.
I'm not shaking.
You might be after this story.
Oh, shit.
I'm wondering, you might have heard of this gentleman. His name is Peter Tripp. His name was Peter Tripp.
Okay. I have not heard of him.
Okay. You'll have to ask your dad if he's heard of him.
Okay.
In 1959, 32-year-old popular radio personality Peter Tripp decided to stay awake for 8 days and nights as part of a publicity stunt aimed at raising money for the March of Dimes. Researchers and physicians warned Tripp against the idea, but Tripp was determined, and so on a cold January morning, he placed himself in a glass booth in the middle of Times Square so that people could observe him as he broadcast for 201 consecutive hours without sleep. Initially, Tripp coped well without sleep. His initial broadcasts during his experiment were entertaining, and he remained his usual cheerful and humorous self.
Mm-hmm.
By day three, remember what we said?
Yes. Hallucinations.
He was cursing the people around him.
Oh, no.
And hallucinating. He thought there were spiders in his shoes, for example, and he took them off to check. After about 100 hours of wakefulness, Tripp was no longer able to get through simple math problems or recite the alphabet. After 120 hours, he began having hallucinations. So
okay, he lasted longer.
I pulled from different sources, so this might repeat a little bit. He walked into a nearby hotel room to shower and change, and when he opened a chest of drawers for his clothes, he saw flames shooting out of the open drawer. At first, he thought that the scientist had set the fire, trying to prank him or make him drop out of the contest. Then he began believing the scientists were in a conspiracy against him and wanted to frame him for a crime. When one scientist, a stuffy dresser, came up to him, Tripp believed that the man was an undertaker coming to bury him and ran away into the street. I mean, it's really intense what it does to you.
It's like drugs, yeah.
During long periods of sleep deprivation, the brain begins going into REM sleep cycles while a person is still awake.
Oh.
Most of the time, the person will still be able to function, if only on a basic level. During the REM cycles, they will begin to dream while they are still conscious. Tripp was having normal, if unpleasant, dreams. He just wasn't having them in bed.
Oh my God, that's wild.
As time went by, the confusion took over his mind. He started staring at a clock, believing that he could see the face of a friend in it. He came to be doubtful as to whether he was Peter Tripp or was that friend. In the last few hours, he began confiding to scientists that although everyone believed he was Peter Tripp, he was not.
So wait, can we back up for 1 second? So I'm a little confused. He's in the box in Times Square.
But he was only doing that broadcast for 3 hours a day. And then he would go to the hotel. And
So there were real scientists, not his hallucinations.
When he decided to do this, scientists were like, great, we're going to come observe. Because they weren't ethically, scientists couldn't be like, we're going to make somebody stay awake.
Gotcha.
Surprisingly, they didn't do that back in the 50s, since they did a lot of other questionable things. So scientists then came in, right, and said, great, you're going to do that. We're going to come and watch.
Okay.
And they actually kind of helped him stay awake and took notes and watched his deterioration.
Okay, so the last 3 hours.
So Tripp did stay awake for 200 hours over 8 days of sleep, although he was drugged regularly for the last 66 hours of it, which I don't know if the scientists...
To keep him awake.
Did that, or if he decided to do that. I couldn't find information on that. And I don't know what the drugs were, if they were amphetamines. I mean, they were just giving out amphetamines like Chiclets back then. After 24 hours of monitored sleep, he emerged... apparently none the worse for the wear. Some say the experiment affected him permanently, citing the fact that soon afterwards he lost his job and his wife divorced him. Like, people, friends around him say he was never the same after that.
Whoa.
And then another thing that's interesting is that he was one of the radio hosts indicted in the Paola scandal of 1960, which was actually before this.
I thought you said it was 1959.
But the scandal happened before this, but they got indicted in 1960.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm sorry. For acts that had been committed well before the sleep study. Given the fact that he was hiding something criminal, it's interesting that Tripp was so paranoid about the scientists framing him for a crime.
Okay.
That was like him and this guy, Alan Freed, who is a very famous disc jockey. And I think the scandal, if you've heard of it, I didn't really know much about it, but it sounded familiar, was that they were taking money from record companies to play songs from those record companies.
Right. It sounds so benign.
It sounds really tame. You can't do that. Like,
it seems like,
like, oh, the record's going to company's going to give you money to play those songs. And
that seems like how radio probably should work.
That's not what happens. Right. But they got in trouble for it. And then he really fell from grace and, then ended up becoming like a traveling salesman. And there's a documentary. I don't know if it's any good or not, but it's linked in one of the articles, so I'll put it in the...
About him.
Yeah, I'll put it in the newsletter. It might just be one of those weird YouTube...
Yeah, right.
...sort of, like, produced badly.
It sounds interesting,
but I just didn't have time to watch it, but I want to check it out because it's a fascinating story. I hope they're going to have footage of the Times Square actual study. It just brings to mind how, like... Even if you think like, oh, I'm young and I'm going to do this and it's not going to affect me in that moment, it can really affect you for your life potentially. Yeah. So it's not something you want to screw around with.
God, that's crazy.
Get your sleep.
8 days.
8 days. It sounds like,
torture.
I just, the idea of even like, if somebody was like, you have to stay up all night.
Yeah.
I would hate that.
No, that would be torture.
I can't even, if somebody's like, we're gonna go out and we're gonna meet up at a bar at 10 o'clock. I'm like, I'm no, and they would say like, you know who's gonna be there?
Who Keanu that? Reeves for you?
Yeah, I'd be like 10.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, no.
Right.
Can you just tell him send me video? Is there any way you could text him and ask him to come earlier? I just think it's like, that's too late. It's I too am late. So tired. No.
No.
No, thank you.
I don't like it.
So that's the story of Peter Tripp.
Well, that's a really good, it sounds like he was on a trip.
He had a bad trip.
All right, well, we will be right back with our special guest. Welcome back to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. Christine, how was your break?
Oh, I got into some really inappropriate conversation with Garen.
All I heard was diarrhea. And then
and you're like, let's get back.
I'm good. So the first half of the show, we talked about sleep deprivation. And now we are going to talk about what happens when you fall asleep on the job with one of my favorite people. He's one of the funniest people I know, Mike Schmidt.
You're way too nice to me. Way too nice to me. No. Both counts.
You know Mike from my wedding. And true. I'm going to have all the members of that. We had Paul Gilmartin last week.
Oh, good.
We've had Alex Alexander. Now you're the third member of the wedding who's been on our show.
I like it. I supposed to bring a gift again?
Yes, because after 24 years, you're supposed to bring a gift again or whatever. It's been something like that. And you know him from his podcast, 40-Year-Old Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And if once you hear his story, I'm sure you'll want to go check out 40-Year-Old Boy because he's... very good storyteller. No pressure. How's it going, Mike?
Good. How are you? Everything's good here at How to... I must say, I have to plug your show on my show all the time.
You do?
I do. Well, I mean, I do anyway. In my plugs,
oh my God.
I include all the Misfit toys.
Oh, that's so nice.
It fills 10 fucking minutes.
Thank you.
We're so flattered. Thank so you.
All the shows get a shout out. But then there's always new shows being added that I didn't know
too
about.
Too many shows.
Yeah, Jonah had a show and then he didn't anymore, but I'm still plugging it a year later with So, but your show, I change the name every week.
Oh, great. Thank
so it's
you.
Always watch out for that bear trap with Danielle and Christine. Ouch, that's hot with Danielle and Christine. So, but everybody knows who you are and where to find you.
This makes me laugh because I have a really bad memory. So I'm starting to turn into my parents and calling things the wrong names. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in episode 2 of There's Some of Us Left. The Last of Us. That's not what it was called. But by the way, update: I've watched all three episodes, the first three episodes. So I watched the episode.
Oh,
wait, so you're, all right, so you haven't seen the ensuing 5?
No. I've only watched 3. All right. I've only watched 3.
You watched the tearjerker.
I watched the tearjerker and the other jerker.
Yeah. Oh,
well, there you go. That seems like a different show.
Yeah. Well, they showed them smooching.
So when I moved to California. A million years ago, the first time.
Yes.
It was like 1986. I wound up working at Little Caesars for a while because my brother.
Pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My brother was the supervisor.
The brother I know, Lenny?
Yes.
Okay.
He was the area supervisor, and this was before we had a huge falling out. So, but we were always contentious growing up. Mm. You know what I mean? Because he was my older brother, and I didn't have a dad. My dad died very young. He bailed. And so Lenny was essentially my dad as well.
Wait, your dad died and bailed?
Same time. It was weird.
You mean he said, I'm going to go out for a pack of cigarettes and got hit by a car?
Good for him. That's the way it should work. You don't get to live your life if you bail on somebody. You got to take it in the face right when you split.
Honestly, I don't know. Did your dad die or did he bail?
Yeah. Let's do this.
Oh, no. Okay. It's okay.
No, my dad did die. I would not make new sandwich buns. I'd leave the ones from yesterday. You say, all right, those are fine. Don't touch those.
Well, I kind of like that from a non-wasteful point of view. You're not wasting food. You're using the food again.
Yes, but would you like it on the other side of the counter when I served you a two-day-old sandwich?
I'm not ordering sandwich at Little Caesars.
They were fucking great, believe it or not.
The pizza's disgusting. So
yes, I was 18. What do you want me to do? No, it was free.
I'm saying, are the sandwiches good? I've never had the sandwich from
Little
Caesars.
They're gone. They're stricken from the menu.
Oh, okay.
Probably because they were two-day-old bread.
I like to think I had a hand in it. No doubt, Christine. Clearly. So finally, like the fourth time he whacks me and I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I have to find a different place to work.
Yeah.
So I went to the 7-Eleven and I applied for a job and these people were nice. You know what I mean? They really, it was a Terry and Denise. They were independent owners. They dug me. Terry and Denise liked me. And then Nancy was the relief. She was the morning person, and she had been there for like 15 years.
Oh, okay.
She started when she was 18. So she was kind of grew up with them.
It's a lifer.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
And so now, but I'm also like, I'm only 18. So I'm being folded into their embrace now. Perhaps I'm the new Nancy.
Yes.
So they would actually like take me out to eat and stuff. And I would, they just really liked me outside of the job.
So you liked the graveyard shift because you used to stay up all
night. I would
stay
up all night, but then I didn't want to waste a moment in the daytime, so I would not sleep.
Oh.
I wanted to go to the beach. I wanted to go shoot hoop in Venice. I wanted to hang out with my friends. So the way I worked it was I would have a four-day block of graveyard.
Okay.
Okay. And I'd work graveyard, and then I'd stay up the whole night, the whole day the next day. I'd probably get an hour and a half, 2 hours before
Jesus.
Work.
Jesus. Wow.
And then I'd go graveyard, and then I'd stay up the next day, and I'd be up for like
That's
2 hours.
That's insane.
So... on the fourth day, I would work my graveyard and I would go home and I would stay up again, but I had 2 days off.
Mm-hmm.
So then that night I would sleep for like 30 hours.
Oh my God.
That night.
I would just go to bed at like eight. Whenever I felt like, all right, now I'm officially run down. Like I had nothing. I would crash and I would be gone for 24 to 30 hours.
It's like the unhealthiest thing.
Oh, there's
ever.
No, well, look at me. I can't even believe I'm here to tell this story, but it was clearly it was not good.
Okay.
But I'm unkillable.
I know.
So I would do that, and I got into a pattern with doing it, and everything was fine, hanging out, Terry and Denise, everything's great. And
yeah.
So at the end of one of my four-day jags, I'm home, and I'm literally getting ready to go to sleep. Like, okay. I don't know how you respond to not having a lot of sleep. Poorly, we
yes,
understand.
Very poorly.
But you feel like you're underwater.
Yes.
Like you kind of get this weird ethereal, almost floaty type of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're a human Enya song. You know what I mean? You know,
yes.
Just and so I'm tottering a little bit on my heels, and I would take a super hot shower because I love hot showers, and then just crash. So I get out of my hot shower, and I'm getting ready for, and the phone rings. It's a landline, and I pick it up, and it's Terry. And he's like, hey. We had to fire Jason. I need you to come in.
Ooh.
And I went, Terry, man, I cannot.
Yeah.
I said, I am so gassed right now. It's ridiculous. I have been up for days and he just goes, well, Mike, come on, man. You're my last hope. I don't want to be here all night. Please. Just come over. And I said, Terry, I'm not kidding. I said, you know how my schedule is. I was literally just about to lay down. Like, I mean, not joking, about to sleep. He goes, look, if you come in, I'll pay you double time today.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll give you the next 2 days off paid.
Oh, wow. Oh. Okay. That's tempting.
And if you know, working at 7-Eleven, double time one night and the next 2 days off paid is easily $100.
How can you turn that down?
So I can't say no.
No,
right? I mean, we're into triple digits at that point.
Can't say none of that.
That's
so
three
I
figures.
Said, I'm like, I, you know what? All right, yeah, man, ugh. I'll do it. Sounds good. So I snap out. I slap myself in the face, and I'm like, all right, let's go. And I get dressed. And when I would go to work, because again, I could walk there. It was close. Mm-hmm. If I had to drive, I probably would have still stuck to no, because I couldn't even fucking you know, handle a car. But I can walk easily. It's a block. And when I would go to work every night, I was two-fisted. I had a boom box, a really big one, in my right hand. And in my left hand, I had a my own briefcase of sorts. It was a gigantic cassette tape suitcase that was double-sided.
Yes.
So you could open it up, and it had like 70 cassettes on each side.
Why would you need this to go to work?
I remember those.
It's 10:30, I think.
In the morning? Or
no,
night.
PM. Okay. It's graveyard, yeah. So I'm there at 10:30, and I'm fine. Because, again, when you're at a 7-Eleven for graveyard, first couple hours are kind of busy. You know what I mean? People are coming in and out. People are either coming home or they're going on their way out. You know, the hard time is in the middle of the evening, in the middle of the shift.
Right.
So everybody's coming in, and they're buying stuff, and it's fine. You're blazing. You're keeping coffee made. You're doing whatever you got to do. So probably, I think it was midnight. It kind of slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, I'm starting to feel it a little bit. And I mean, I'm chugging Slurpees. Like, I'm literally chugging Slurpees to get a brain freeze to keep me awake.
Right.
Coke, Slurpee, whatever, all of it. I don't drink coffee, so I'm just all sugar and caffeine. Finally, around midnight, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go in the office. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'll sit back there because you hear the bell. If it goes off, you come out and help anybody. And there's the video because you had a camera.
Yeah.
There's two cameras in the store. So I go in the back and I sit at the desk. And I look at the security camera, and then the bell rings.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of opened my eyes, and a guy's like, "Hey, Mike, what are you doing?" And I go, "What's up?" It's the guy who works at the gas station next door, who I would see if I worked during the day.
Right.
This guy, Greg. And I go, "Hey, Greg, what's happening?" And he goes, "What? You can't be sleeping back here, dude." Uh-huh. I go, "I'm not sleeping. What are you talking about?" He goes, "No, you're sleeping. I just came back here. You're definitely sleeping." I'm like, I doubt it. So I get up.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't sound like me at all. I walk out and I look at the clock, and it's 12:25.
Okay.
I'd been asleep for 20 minutes.
Right.
In a blink.
Right.
Like, I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. I put my head down, and then he woke me up. I had no idea where it went. It was that fucking fast. So I go out, and, you know, he stops. He has a soda with me and whatever, and we're talking. And then he's got to leave, and I'm like, "You should stick around. Why not? That'd be fine. What if you hung out for like 5 hours? Wouldn't that be great?"
Just to get me away.
Right? Because I'm so, my head's full of bees. It's like, I'm just fucked up. So he's like, "No, man, I got to take off." But man, do not go in the back. Like, that was like Danger City. I'm like, "No problem. I'm fine. Dude, I wasn't even asleep. Ha ha. I was just back there. Whatever. Take care.
Just
see you tomorrow."
Just close my eyes. Yeah. That's what my son says when we're watching a movie. "No, my eyes were just closed." Okay. what happened the last 10 minutes?
Unfortunately, nobody comes into 7-Eleven to carry me up into my bedroom. So that's fine. So he leaves, and I drop the facade, and I'm like, "Dude, what the fuck just happened?" Because I had lost 20 minutes instantly. So now I have to be more proactive. I can't just rely on chemicals to keep me awake. So I start playing music as loud as I can play it. Like, I turn the radio up.
It's like you're holding yourself hostage.
Yes. Essentially, yeah. I'm my own Abu Ghraib. Yes. I'm just like, got myself, I'm torturing myself. I can't sleep, loud music.
You start waterboarding yourself with Slurpees.
Put a cigarette in my mouth with a thumbs up. Look at this guy. So I start to walk the store.
Yes.
I walk up and down the aisles, and I start to kind of a light jog. I throw in a light jog.
Great.
Around the island, because the way it works is the register's here, and facing out is like kind of groceries. It's kind of the same setup as most 7-Elevens. And behind me is all the coffee machines and stuff. Okay. And to the left are all the coolers, the soda, beer coolers and stuff. So now I'm out, and I'm running around, and I have a broom, and I'm sweeping, even though I'm not supposed to sweep, it doesn't matter. But I'm also playing guitar with it, like air guitar. And I'm doing, they're called the Van Halen jump. Eddie Van Halen used to do this jump where he would split his legs like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I'm doing it. I'm jumping up and down. I'm running around.
I think cheerleaders call it a herky.
Is it really?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is called a herky. Yeah.
Oh, man, not as cool anymore when Eddie did the herky.
Well, come on. It's pretty cool when they do it. It's still cool. Yeah.
Well, he did make it cool, clearly.
Yeah, he did.
In his overalls of red and white. And so I'm jogging. I'm doing Van Halen jumps. I'm screaming. I'm yelling. Anybody who pulls in, I'm herkying all over the place. I have to say, and I stop, of course, when they walk in. And I'm like, "How are you?" And I'm very gregarious.
"How are you?
What's going on?" Yeah, because I'm at the bottom of a well. You know what I mean? So they come in, and I'm like, I help people. I'm doing whatever I got to do. And now my next plan is to stay awake until the newspapers show up.
Okay.
Because I loved, you know, when the newspapers came in, because, you know me, I used to read five newspapers a day. I was crazy. Mm-hmm. So I would read the LA Times, the LA Daily News, and the USA Today. I got them every single day. So, and the best part of it was the guy who delivered the newspapers was this, he was this sad, crew-cutted man in just like a button shirt that wasn't tucked in, and just misery personified. Aww. And so he would come in, and then I would talk to him. Because I'm an idiot, I would be like, "Hello, sir, how are you today?" Like, so dumb, trying to get him to talk to me. Never talked to me the whole time I worked at 7-Eleven, until one night I'm in there, and my buddy Dennis Eggenberg is in there, and and I told him all along about this guy.
Uh-huh.
So then the dude comes to deliver the papers. Yeah. This is a good month into my tenure of seeing him four times a week. Never spoke to me. Comes in, he puts the papers up, and he's got them zip-tied, and he's got to snap it with an X-Acto knife. And he comes in, and I go, "Sir, how are you? Good to have you. It's late, but I'm glad that you're here. You've gone ahead and brightened up my evening by showing up. I'm really pouring it on thick for Dennis."
Yes.
And I'm like, "But, you know, put those anywhere you want. But I would like them in the newspaper case. But do you want to hand me one? Great. Otherwise, I'll take one from the middle. I don't like to get the one on the top because the news has always been read out of the top copy." And I'm talking and talking. And then if he doesn't say a thing. And he's popping anything. And he goes to walk out. And I go, "How are you today, by the way, sir?" And he stops in his tracks. And he just goes, "Fucked."
Oh,
wow.
It's the only word the man said to me the entire time I worked at 7-Eleven.
Oh, my God.
And I talk to him every night. Hey, man, what's going on? How you doing? What's up?
Terrifying.
Yeah. Fucked.
Oh, that is so sad.
Yeah. And
holy
then
shit.
But he's just, he was just the ghost of Mike Schmidt future. You know what I mean? Just like this, this pile of misery delivering newspapers in the middle of the night because his dreams died. Wearing ill-fitting clothing and just no, just a secondhand car that's abused. Oh, it was a mess. I didn't know it then, though. So I grabbed the USA Today, and it's at the time, it's 145.
Okay.
Okay. And, you know.
Man, you got a long way to go.
Right?
I'm really stressed out.
In the long halfway through the night, and again, at two, but again, there's it's all, it, you know, it, I got to make coffee, and then at 2 o'clock, I got to lock the beer coolers, and then, you know, at 3 o'clock, this person comes, it's all, the, then the morning crowd starts to come in for their coffee.
So you're breaking it up.
Exactly. And I figure at 145, all right, I'll just go, I'll read the USA Today, and I'm fine.
Lots of pie charts to look at.
Sure. I get the daily news. So I go and look. I set up the newspaper and I sit down at the desk and I'm reading the USA Today. And then, like I said, it's 1:45. The bell goes off and I'm like, oh, all right. So I get out of the chair. I go out there and there's a guy, he's getting coffee. Uh-huh. I go, hey, sir, how you doing? And he goes, good. And I come around the corner and my radio, my boombox, is by the doors.
Okay.
It's on the ground. It's no longer by the sink. It's by the double doors.
Okay.
I'm like, well, that's strange.
Yeah.
Why does, and it, but again, I'm so foggy. I don't, right. You know, yeah. I just go, well, that's odd. Why does that? All right. And I pick it up and I put it back in the sink. And I go, and you know, this poor guy's getting coffee that I made 2 hours ago. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, Christ, I got to make some. I go, how's the coffee? Is it all right? He goes, oh, we're good. And so I go over and I put some more coffee on and he comes around and he puts his coffee cup on the desk, and it was like 40 cents because this is right. 38 years ago. And I go, terrific, and I ring up the thing, and a drawer opens, and it's empty.
Oh. Holy shit.
And
what year was it now?
Right. So I, and I don't even know what face I made. I just this rictus of terror because it just opens. I'm like, and he's like, everything okay? And I'm like, no, of course not. Please get the fuck out of here before you see what happened. I don't, yeah. You know, literally, I'm just, I go, no, everything's great. Ha ha. And I take his 40 cents and he takes his coffee and he leaves. And I put the money in and I close the drawer. And I'm like, what the fuck is, and I look up and the beer cooler is empty.
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
Empty. So I immediately lock the beer cooler.
That's thinking on your feet.
Clearly there's a poltergeist or some sort of spirit who has taken the liquor away from this and I have to trap him inside. So I go over and impotently lock the beer coolers and I go back behind the counter and I look at the clock and it is 2:55
a.m. Oh shit,
I've been asleep for an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh god.
So I don't know. I call Nancy because she essentially runs the store. Terry and Denise own it, but Nancy runs the place.
Okay.
So I call her up and I'm like, and she answers and she's like, oh, you know, because she sleeps like a human being.
Right.
Huh? I go, hey, Nancy, it's Mike. Oh, is everything okay? Nancy, I got robbed. Oh, my God. Are you okay?
Well, I'm a little sleepy. But
yeah. Yeah. She goes, oh, well, did you call the cops yet? Did you see the guys who did it? Did they hurt you? Did they have a weapon? No. She goes, all right, we'll call the cops. I'm on my way. I'll call Terry. We'll be right over there. I said, cool. And I hang up. And now I don't know what to say. I don't know what's
right.
going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
Cops are there instantly. I mean, it's crazy. Nancy gets there and then Terry. So they're all there in like 10 minutes. So Terry's like, are you okay? What happened? And I said, I honestly, it's just, it's kind of a blur, really. At this point.
It was kind of like a dream.
Yeah.
Because I'm so sleeping.
He says,
it's a blur.
And the cops are like, well, all right, well, what, did you see the guys? I go, not really. And Terry goes, well, we've got the security
right,
tapes.
Right, right.
He goes, maybe we'll probably see them on the security tapes. It'll be fine. We'll be able to check it out. I go, okay, great.
Oh.
So Nancy's like, well, I'll hold down the fort. You guys go in the back. He goes, great. So we all four of us go in the back. And they get the tape, and he takes them out, and he rewinds it, the one from behind the register. And he's like, all right. And he starts it. And the cops are asking me questions, and I said, I don't know. I don't have... any real answers. We go in the back, and they throw the tape on, and he starts it at 10, and you know, we get there, and I show up, and also I should say my hair, like at this time, I'm heavier than I've ever been for then. My hair is like really big; it's a huge nest. I look like the newspaper dude. So they start showing it, and you see me, helping people and working and stuff, and then you see me disappear at midnight.
The first time when you get in the back, right?
And time's still running, and Terry just looks at me, and he's like, What are you doing there? I'm probably sweeping up over by the coffee and stuff. And he goes, it's 20 minutes. And then the gas station guy comes in. And then you see us both kind of walk out and me talking to him and basically, begging him to stay. And he's kind of fast forwarding, but he's also stopping. You know what I mean? So he's fast forwarding. It's going. So then when the gas station guy leaves, he hits fast forward and you see me put my head in my hands. And then you see me just slap myself as hard as I can. And then I turn the radio up, and it's all fast motion. I just run. You see me running. I have a broom. I'm doing guitar. I'm doing Van Halen jumps in fast motion like a Benny Hill sketch up and down the aisles and everything. And the funny thing is, like, they don't laugh. Like, because I think I'm watching, like, that's kind of stupid and funny. But the cops are fascinated at this point. They're just watching, like, what is this? Like, what's happening?
Fight Club when you reveal that there's no one else.
I'm my own Tyler Durden. That's it. He's not there. So, and even Terry's watching it like, what the fuck? And I wish I could have laughed. So I'm running, I'm jumping. Van Halen jumps, helping customers, turning stuff up. Newspaper guy, turn the music up. And then at 1:45, I take the USA Today and I disappear.
Oh no!
I mean, you see on camera that you're sleeping.
I'm gone. I'm off. There's no camera in the office.
You're not on the camera anymore.
Exactly.
You went into the office?
Yeah.
I thought you took the newspaper and were reading it at the counter.
Wouldn't that have been a smart idea?
Wait a second. Why did you go back to the office?
Because I can control this thing, Danielle.
Oh, this whole time I thought you fell asleep at the counter.
No, ma'am. That's why I'm saying I went. No, God, are you kidding me? Jesus, that would have been horrendous.
Well, that's what I was picturing.
I'm sorry.
The guy is slowly creeping by you, opening the drawer while you sleep. You know, cartoon snores.
Well, like, as we'll hear, they didn't need to do that.
Okay.
When I took the newspaper, I went in the back.
Oh, okay.
Like a civilized person. I sat at the desk to read my newspaper.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying when I heard the bell and was like, oh, okay, it's time to go out there, I walked outside.
Uh-huh. And it was the second guy.
Yeah, it was the second guy. Or at least I thought it was
the
second guy.
Oh, okay.
So I'm running around, jumping around, and I take the newspaper and I disappear. And then a guy comes in and he takes a Coke and he walks up to the counter and then he grabs a candy bar. He puts it down there and he waits. He kind of looks around. He waits about a minute and then he just puts his money down on the counter and he splits it. Another guy walks in.
So those bells you don't hear?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't hear those.
Because he's sound asleep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this second guy comes in, and he grabs a case of beer, because it's closing time. It's 2 in the morning. He's trying to get a beer real quick. So he grabs a case of beer, and he puts it on the counter, and he waits.
Oh.
And he waits. And you can even see him go, hey!
Oh.
And he doesn't see anybody come out. So not only does he take the beer, he takes the money the guy left behind for his Coke and his candy bar.
Wow.
And splits. 5 minutes later, same guy comes in with his friend.
Oh, no.
Friend goes around the corner, so he goes to the office. So he's got eyes on me, and then he realizes the coast is clear, because then the second guy...
Wait, did he open the door to the office?
I didn't close the door to the office.
Oh, so he's just looking in.
It's just in the back.
And he sees you asleep. Okay.
Yeah. So he's got eyes on me.
Uh-huh.
And the second guy, obviously he yells to him, and the second guy goes behind the counter to the safe. Now, the safe is it's like a time lock. You know what? I'm actually forgetting. They came in, he came back in by himself and opened the register, took all the money.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then split.
Okay. Okay.
Then he came back in with his friend.
Okay.
So this is now the third time he's come in.
Ballsy.
He goes back by the safe. Safe's time release. You got to push a button on it for 20s. And then you put the change in. It's to make sure you don't have too much money in your drawer.
Okay.
So you put the money in a thing and you slide it in the machine and then the money comes out. Well, he's trying to push the buttons and nothing's happening.
Right.
So he keeps hitting it and nothing's happening. So then he sits down on the ground to try to figure out how to open the safe on the bottom where there's a door. And thankfully for me, he moves my double-sided suitcase of cassettes out of the way to get to the safe, because I could not have handled it if he had taken those. So he's trying to get into the safe, and he can't. And then he starts pulling on the door, and he looks around, and he sees a hammer underneath the sink. He takes the hammer out, and he just starts banging on the fucking safe.
Wow! He's banging with a hammer?
He's banging with a hammer on a metal safe, and I'm in the back taking a fucking nap. I am so out of it, I don't hear this guy banging on the fucking safe.
You're unconscious. So,
yeah. So I'm comatose at this point.
All right, so let's go back to the moment where you're watching this with the cops and your boss. What are they saying to you? Is everyone just mouths open?
Is everyone just staring and not making eye contact at this point?
Well, I can't see much of anything because of the smoke coming out of Terry's ears. he's looking at the TV, and he's watching it, and they've stopped the fast forward, so you're seeing, and you're hearing the guy bang, and you're hearing
there's sound.
Oh, my God.
And the cops are, again, as I've said, fascinated. Like, they're not laughing or oh ho ho, they can't believe what's happening. And again, you can see these guys clearly. Like, I mean, that's the good news, is we're gonna catch them, because they're in here three fucking times stripping this place for parts. Yeah, so he's banging on the safe. It doesn't open. So he's sitting on it. Again, crisscross applesauce. Dong, dong.
Oh, my God.
And then he just kind of sits back and he looks over. And like I said, we didn't have that plastic thing for cigarettes above the counter. Mm-hmm. We kept them under the counter on shelves. And when they were all in the back, so we would take a giant box and we would fill them with cigarettes, and we had to fill the bottom shelves. He turns around and he just sees all the cigarettes. And then he sees the giant box that we use. So now this guy's got fucking luggage. So he pulls it out and he just sweeps all of the cigarettes in the store that are under the, and he just sweeps them all into the box. And he gets up and he goes back out to the car. Comes in a fourth time.
Oh my God.
Now he yells to the guy in the back, because apparently they're so comfortable with the amount of REM sleep that I'm in.
You're in because deep REM.
They have a two-handed operation, and he needs him to get involved.
Get the hammer.
So he calls him, and he walks up, and they start talking, and then they disappear, and then they just start carrying liquor out to the car. Right. It's like a conga line of just beer. And they come back in, bing, ching, bing, ching, and they're doing it, and the bell's going off every time. I don't hear a goddamn thing.
Oh,
all this beer, they got it. They're loaded up, two cases, three cases, all of it. All the wine, they took all of it. They cleared it out. I mean, it's...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're still going through that liquor today.
No kidding, right? They got a car outside, so the doors are open. They're just filling it with everything. You can kind of only, you know that camera, you can see through the door where they're out there working? Okay. They come in a fifth time. And they walk in, and they have the box that had been previously filled with cigarettes, but now is ready for whatever larceny they can imagine. And they actually take a couple steps in, and they stop. And they look confused, as if to say, what else is there to steal in this place?
Like,
what could we possibly...
Grandmother's cookies?
And like, their heads kind of tilt, and they talk, and they actually have the time to get a strategy.
Yeah.
And then they walk, and they kind of disappear off camera. And then you see them kind of periodically. And then as they walk, they have all of the hostess cakes. All of the...
Wow.
Like, all of the donuts, all of the cake. That whole rack is completely... emptied into the box and into their arms, and they go to carry it outside of the car.
They're like, we could start a small business.
Right. Yeah, they can start their own 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I don't know what else a stoner could possibly want in this store. So they do it, they load the car. So now they get the cigarettes, they got the lottery tickets, they got the money.
Yeah, oh,
they
open
the drawer, they took all of it. They took all of it.
Oh, no.
They got absolutely everything. And
and you didn't even notice right away.
They come back in a sixth time.
Oh, my God. Mike, are they going to take you? They're going to take your shoes?
That's exactly what I was like. They might as well just take my shirt at this point. So when I wake up, I'm like, huh? Look what happened to me. I mean, why wouldn't you? Draw a mustache on me, anything at that point. And they come in the sixth time. And the dude grabs my radio. And he puts it down by the doors. And the other guy goes again and takes the hammer to go to the safe.
again.
And then headlights pull into the parking lot.
Oh. Okay.
And they fucking, he jumps the counter and the other guy and they run out. And the dude who bought the coffee comes in.
That's when they, that's why the radio is still there.
He gets his coffee. And the bell I heard was them running out.
Oh,
because then
God.
I waddle out of the fucking back, bleary-eyed, like, what's going on out here? Rubbing my eyes. And the dude gets his coffee, and we're making a little small talk. And I think I mentioned earlier, I don't even want to know what my face looked like when the register opened. Luckily, I was able to see exactly what my face looked like. Because I open it, and the drawer opens, and I stare, and I go, like, just...
Oh.
Like Edward Munch painted me at a convenience store. Just, oh. And I paid, and then you just see me pondering. And now the cops are laughing. Like they're hiding their faces. Like, and Terry, he just.
He wasn't silent, laughing?
Silent.
No.
Just
no.
Jawed and staring. And he stops the tape.
Well, because you know what I'm wondering? Sorry to interrupt your story.
No,
it's so good. I'm wondering if the whole time they're thinking that maybe you were on it on some way. They didn't know. Like, they could have thought this kid is maybe letting his friends come in. Like, the cops don't know. They could be thinking he's...
Oh, right.
Like, these are his friends, and he's, like, agreed to go in the back while they come in and rob the store. But now they see clearly...
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I think any... thoughts the police had of doing any sort of regular police work on this case have gone out the window.
Along with the beer.
As they watch this unbelievable videotape.
They can't wait to tell everyone back at the precinct the thing they just saw is the best thing they've ever seen.
And the tape stops, and then there's just this beat where I'm in the chair and I'm looking, and they all three just turn their head to me. Slowly. And look at me in the chair. And what do you say?
Right.
I wish I had the balls to laugh. You know what I mean? I wish I would have just had the balls to just go, who's this idiot? That's me. But I looked at Terry, and in my best 18 years of making excuses for whatever, all of my behavior, I went, you know, you really shouldn't have brought me in on a day when I hadn't had any sleep. I did.
Yes.
I did mention that when you called.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right. I think that's the perfect thing to say.
Well, what else do you say? Again, I have nothing else to say.
He really should have listened
to you. Because I liked him. I liked him and his wife. I enjoyed them as people. And I did not.
So what does he say to that?
He goes, go home.
Oh, shit.
I said, I guess I'm fired. And he goes, go home. We'll talk tomorrow. We'll figure it out tomorrow. Go, just go. And I go, all right. But
you collect your tapes.
I'm sorry. No doubt. That's it.
And only thing they didn't steal was your stuff.
That's it. I got out free and clear. The one thing they didn't take was my thing. And I walked out front, and Nancy goes, all right, did you tell them what's up? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they know what's up. And I walk out, and
but Nancy
home.
Didn't know at this point.
No,
what
Nancy's
happened.
Out. She's watched work in the front selling coffee. Has no idea that I've brought down a small business. And I go home, and I crash for only like 18 hours. And then Terry calls me, and he had called like 4 times, but he wanted to talk to me. He didn't want to leave it on the machine.
Right.
And he fired me over the phone because he didn't want to see my face, probably, I would imagine. And then the best part of it is I talked to Nancy because I still was kind of friends with her. And the whole thing's covered by insurance.
I was going to ask. Okay, good.
Except in the case of clerk negligence.
Oh, shit.
So because there's videotape evidence of the clerk falling asleep and unmanning his post, they were out of pocket for the entire enterprise.
Oh, shit.
I want to see that tape.
Yeah, I do too. I really want to see it. Fast forward, and then just you're sleeping.
I want to see the herkies.
I want to see the...
I'll do one for you before I split.
Oh my God.
Not what I used to be, but I can pull one off probably. Yeah,
that was such a good story.
That was amazing, Mike. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for
regaling us with these hysterical... Oh, my Lord.
And I mean, really, you cannot deprive yourself of sleep if there's one lesson
this is,
in this
story.
See,
this is what I would have done all that shit if I were on 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm that much of a mess. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And we will be right back with, what did we learn today?
Danielle.
Christine.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
So ready.
Tattoos and chopped hair. I'm entering my new era. Everyone goes through the tattoo and college tour phase.
It's a rite of passage.
The use of a hook and line is the most common method to catch alligators. It involves securing a sturdy hook and line to a tree or pole in the ground. The hook is commonly baited with fish or chicken quarter. After the bait is taken, the hunter returns to draw in and dispatch the gator.
But they don't say how. I think it's with a staff or like a, I don't know. I think it's something with...
Dealer's choice, maybe?
Dealer's choice, yeah.
I'll get more information. One of the most common questions people have about embalming is whether or not organs are removed. The answer is no. All of the organs remain in the body during the embalming process. Instead, the embalmer makes small incisions in the abdomen and inserts tubes into the body cavity.
For what?
Draining?
Draining the liquids. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yummy.
I think maybe in ancient Egypt, they used to take out the organs, I feel like, and place them in jars next to the body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Take a nap.
You take a nap.
I'd like to.
Drink your coffee.
Drink your coffee. In November 1959, enclosed in open sessions before the U.S. House Oversight Committee, 335 disc jockeys from around the country admitted to having received over $263,000 in consulting fees. That figure was only the tip of the Paola iceberg. Before the hearing, Phil Lind, a DJ at Chicago's Wait, WAIT, had confessed that he had once taken $22,000 to play a single record.
Huh, I wonder what the record was.
I bet it was Blueberry Hill.
Yeah.
Fats Domino?
I think that sounds right.
Nonstop Dread and Danger with Danielle and Christine.
Yay!
The Herky is a cheerleading jump with one leg straight out to the side and the other bent flat beneath the body, named after Lawrence Herkimer, the founder of the National Cheerleaders Association and former cheerleader at Southern Methodist University. That sounds very much like what Eddie Van Halen does.
Very much. Did you hear that story of the girl who's... this part I don't understand. There were only like four members of her... high school, I can't remember if it was high school or college, cheerleading team.
Mm-hmm.
And three of them quit right before they had a meet. So she just went and did it herself.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did she win?
No, but she got a lot of applause. And
good for her.
Her and her coach like redesigned it to, I haven't seen the actual cheer, but yeah.
Let's find
it. Story, yeah.
You know what I want to do?
What?
I want to thank some of our Seek Shelter patrons.
Awesome.
So
we're talking about our Patreon.
Yes.
Highest level, the Seek Shelter, in which you get
a shout out,
10% off merchandise, a shout out, you get the newsletter, you get one bonus episode a month, and extended versions of the episodes that you're hearing right now.
You get so much. First, I want to thank Allie. She doesn't give a last name because she doesn't need to. No. She's like Cher. She's like Prince. She's like, name one more.
Madonna.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Or Allie's last name is Susan, and she doesn't want me to bag on her for having two first names.
She was like, I'm just going to be Allie.
I'm not going to be Paul Tim.
I know what Koenig's going to do to me. I'm just Allie, which is a very cool name.
Yeah.
The next person we want... So thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Allie.
The next person we want to thank is... Jackie Applegate.
Great name.
It's fun to say. It's fun mouth sounds.
Don't say mouthfeel. If you go to mouthfeel, we're no longer friends.
Who says mouthfeel?
Oh, it's like an expression people use in cooking.
I won't. I promise.
Okay.
Next up. Thank you, Jackie. We really appreciate your support. Chris Dooley. Chris Dooley to me seems like somebody who would have a comic strip.
It does sound like a good...
Dooligans.
Hey, that's good.
It's a bar.
Really good.
It's a bar, and everybody likes to hang out at Dooligans.
Yep.
And it's his strip, Chris Dooley, Dooligans. If that's ever
then
been...
Then it becomes, for some reason, extremely racist.
Yes. Just whites only.
Time.
Whites only at Dooligans.
Yeah.
So if that's ever been a dream of yours, Chris.
Go for it.
We say go for it. Life is too short to not chase after your dreams. Look at us. Okay. Jason Russell.
Love it.
Just, you know what? That's like a guy I went to high school with.
I mean, that is two first names, but I accept that one. It's a little bit less first namey.
I mean, we have a lot of two first names here. Jackie Applegate. You know,
yeah.
You didn't go to school with anybody named Applegate. Dooley for sure. You know, sure. Dooley? Yeah. Oh, that guy's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Dooley? You can count on him. Yeah. All right. Leslie Wahlstrom.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Leslie. I, you know, I love you. I don't know why. I've just fallen in love.
You're so full of love to give.
You know what it is? It's the magic mind.
It is.
It's made me weird.
Imagine drinking it with a Celsius.
Oh, don't. Oh, Karen.
You know what? You know what they say in the sleep study I've just done.
Yeah.
You got to stay away from that.
Yeah.
Those high sugar
from here to home.
Those high sugar energy drinks. No bueno.
Yeah.
So bad for you.
Yeah. Karen,
is good. It's healthy.
We want you to start taking better care of yourself. You haven't joined me on any of my 3.5 mile walks.
That's a long walk.
You guys should go get a walk and then get a tattoo.
Walk tattoo.
Walk to the tattoo place.
There's a tattoo place directly down the street, like 15 steps from my house. I think there's a tattoo
place.
Go
do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that place.
They definitely got that Black Panther tattoo on the wall.
I'm sure they do.
It's their logo.
I want to thank everyone for listening today.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks to everyone who supports us on social media. Thank you to our patrons on Patreon.
Yeah.
You can check us out there.
If you haven't done so yet, go check us out.
We love you.
See if it rings true for you.
Is it just patreon.com/howtosurvive, right? Or is it pod/howtosurvive?
It's one of those. I'm going to tell you right now.
I know if you go to patreon.com and just look in the search bar for or whatever, the magnifying glass for How to Survive with Danielle and Christine, you will find us.
It's podcast How to Survive.
Awesome.
Very easy. But yes, if you just go type in our podcast, we will be right there. Just ready to embrace you with love and acceptance and a welcome message as soon as you sign up.
That's right. We
send it to you. I love to see you.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And until next time,
remain calm.